The following is a presentation of Real Racin' USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racin' USA.
It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour! And it is time to go drag racing again with Straight Lining with Stevie. And I'm Jack Smith. This is Real Racing USA Straight Lining with Stevie show on Wednesday night, as always. And the star of the show is Stevie LaTemps. Welcome back, Stevie. Let's go do it, man.
Hey, guy, how we doing? I'll tell you what, we're not going to fool around. We're going to get right to the heart of it. I have got the legend in Pro Modified on here with me right now, a six-time world champion in IHRA Pro Modified, Scotty Cannon.
Scotty, all right.
Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, brothers, no problem. It's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, Scotty, we're going to get right to it. Everybody's heard about it, and those that haven't hopefully will hear about it tonight, that you and your son have teamed up with identical cars and are going to compete in Pro Modified. So you're making your return to Pro Modified after several years, and your son's out there going after his second world championship. These are going to be identical cars. And what kind of power can we expect, horsepower-wise, to come out of these cars this year? Because I know you've been working on them.
Well, you know, it's a good question you ask. And you may have already heard I've been in Canada doing some dyno testing already with our stuff. Let's put it this way. We were up there this weekend, and we dynoed a bunch of different lowers and a bunch of different combinations, and the power that Junior had last year outseated everybody else's that we was testing on the dyno. So it wasn't light years away from a couple of combinations, but it was still ahead. And this is like pro stock to me. Anytime you're somewhat ahead, you're not behind. And we haven't even went back to the dyno to even test our new stuff or any of the stuff we're actually working on for 2008 for either car. So we were actually just comparing our stuff to see where we stood, to kind of not wanting to brag at all, but why the car was so successful. You know, it's been low ET numerous times, and it's been a lot of speed. And by saying that, we had never been on a dyno with the combination we had. So we were a little puzzled ourselves. We knew it had to have power. We didn't know where. So, you know, we're not letting no grass grow under our feet, that's for sure, because I don't know no one else has been to the dyno yet, and I haven't even been to the racetrack to see if I can drive, so we're really excited about it.
Well, let me ask you this. We saw the 590s start to flash up. Can we look for a lot of 590s, do you think, not only out of your team, but out of a lot of the guys out there this season?
You know, I was thinking that we would have run more fives than we did. I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak on past history. And, you know, the bottom line is when you get down to the, say, 6.0 range or 6.10, 11 or 12, well, let's just say 6.0, 6.10 down, I'm seeing that the cars are real temperamental. The clutch has to be right. And with the way they've got the rules structured now, you know, if the driver, with him not having a two-step, it puts the driver back in it. If he misses the leave RPM, you know, a couple hundred either way, it either blows the tires off or either it bogs the car and it won't go down a racetrack. So for say, you know, if everybody that was on the two-step, it goes back to swap his feet, they're going to improve, and I think we're going to see more low 6-second and maybe some more 5-second runs. If these guys don't foresee to make it or get any better at what they're doing, and then it's not going to happen because it's so critical, you know. And you know, I call the tech department at IHRA, they're the police, and we're the gangsters because we're always trying to get away with everything we can. And, you know, Mike Baker, and they do a good job, and they're trying to keep the classes even as they can. So, that you know, that's a good, tricky question. And you know, I've seen a lot of people last year, and I haven't went back to swapping feet either, so I'm probably speaking for myself. It's pretty temperamental. You know, you take the Quain Stotts, he's a natural. He don't seem to have problems. I mean, the Carl Spearings, there's for all the old timers. I mean, Mike Janis, three or four of them out there that swap feet so consistent, so good. Those guys are going to continue to run good. So, you know, it's going to really matter if any of the guys step up to the plate, you know, and get to where they can hit the ball better.
I know the ADRL, we've seen a lot of eighth-mile racing there where they do run down into the 390 zone. You think when you go to the eighth-mile event down in San Antonio, Texas, you look to see a lot of the guys hit into 390s. And what do you think you will do on your first time out as well?
Well, me personally, with my car, you're asking? Well, the long and short of it is I should be close to little Scott. As far as driving, I shouldn't be. There's no way I'll be as sharp as him. I've been out of the car so long. You know, unless maybe, you know, it's like riding a bicycle. That would be the best thing that could happen to me. But as far as the horsepower-wise, we'll be sisters. So we don't have anything hit under the table there. But, you know, when we first started off testing the first year, we had a throttle on, D10 under the throttle. Just different things that we finally wound up having to just, we took them off the car because I used to swap feet when I drove up until the last couple of years when I had an air throttle. So I actually kind of had to school Junior a little bit on that too. Hopefully, I mean, you know, I've got some age on me. Hopefully I can, you know, I can, between the first race and now, I can get out there and make enough laps to where it ain't an issue. As far as the power wise, you know, I have as much as him, unless he falls asleep and I find something and he don't get it for me.
Running the 8th mile, is there anything special that the crew chief has to do to prepare the car differently than he would if he was racing quarter mile?
Well, no. And once again, it falls back to the rules again. I mean, Mike Baker's got us held up to a 430 gear. So, you know, first thing I would do is put a lower gear in the back, which you can't. You can only run a 3-speed, so you can actually put some more low gear in it, because you don't have to live with putting it in high later on. So outside of changing the transmission a little bit and probably trying to burn the wick, when I say the wick is how much, what you have is from when you let the clutch out to 1,320 feet, you only have what I call a wick that you can burn as hard as you can burn it till you get to the finish line without burning the motor up. Well, now then, we're only going to have a 660-foot wick. So I will for sure be leaning on my stuff real hard early. And you don't have to travel that last 1,320 feet. So, yeah, you know, if the crew chief's got his head out of his butt, he'll definitely tune his car different.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that you're driving, and, of course, Scott Jr.'s driving, are you still going to be involved in the tune-up, or do you have somebody coming on board to help tune these?
No, we have a couple guys, Lance Flanagan from Flanagan Crankshafts. He's going to actually be, for say, what I call, I guess you'd say, my crew chief guy. Me and Scott still going to tune the cars off the same computer. We'll have the same tune-up. Bottom line is, you know, if me and Junior have to run each other, it'll be the best man win. So I ain't really looking forward to that right off the get-go. And like I said, I get the cobweb blowed out of my butt because he was doing pretty good there toward the end of the year. A lot of the mistakes that was made the last couple races was me blowing the tires off, and I was the crew chief. So, you know, that's one of the things we're going to test, see what we're going to have to do to get the car down the racetrack on Sunday. And once again, coming off the dyno, that was real, real good. You know, me and Rick Stefano was up there doing some dynos, and we dynoed, we made about at 20 pulls in 2 days. And with the power range where we got in our car, I think I may have learned something that will really help me on that in that department on Sunday. So, once again, you know, we just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, both you and your boy are running identically prepared 67 Firebirds. Are they painted the same? Or how are they going to look? How are they going to be different?
Well, they're 68s, but that didn't really matter. The as of now, I know his car is going to stay a sister to what it was. We're not even painting it. Mine, and this was coming from Evan, he wanted them both painted identically the same. I'm probably going to push for maybe a suggestion of maybe my flames being just a little bit different, so maybe we won't try to get in different cars or something of that nature. So to answer your question, unless something changes now, they will be identical. And that come from Evan, the horse's mouth. I mean, he said if you're going to run a father and son team, he wants them when you pull to the start line to where you basically can't tell the difference.
You know, I know you've got a proud father with your son being the world champion. What's it going to feel like to you whenever you pull up? Because it's going to happen. You look over in the other lane, and there is your boy. Are you prepared to see his taillights, or is this going to be dog-eat-dog going down the driveway?
Well, I believe anybody that knows the Cannon family, I mean, they most of the fans out there know me probably a little bit more, and I guess my character more than they know his. But he's as competitive as I am, and you know we haven't really had sit down and even talked about it. But like, I mean, he's building all the motors as he does now. I'll do most of the clutch. He puts the clutch together. I'll make all the calls. Except, I mean, what people got to understand is he's run two full seasons now. So he makes a lot of the calls on the car anyway. Not the last temperamental call, like, okay, we lean at five or more of this, a little of that. But when we go out there and we set the clutch up different, he has a big say-so on what's going on that anyway. So he's gonna have to step it up when he runs me, because I'm probably going to think I'm behind anyway. So I ain't so sure, since I'm paying the bills, I won't lean on mine a little harder than he'll lean on his.
So he does have one advantage. He's not paying the bills, but I got a feeling if he leans on it too hard, he's going to catch heck, huh?
Well, that's not a real worry of mine, but I figure since he ain't paying the bills, he probably won't care how hard he leans on it, as long as he gets there first. So I ain't going to say that'll be an issue if he starts tearing up a lot of stuff, but he might get a cut and pay.
On the line, it was the finals, and you square off, is what you're saying.
If it gets to the finals, we're going to let it hang out. They'll probably see smoke in both lanes. One of my buddies was saying the other day, he said, what are y'all going to do if y'all get all mad? Because I guess I'm probably a little more higher strung than him, but he's a little bit quieter. I said, I don't know. He said, well, I haven't figured it out. He said, if there's a big scuffle on top end, you and him just run. He said, I'm pretty sure Scooter and Baker say, oh, don't worry about it. It's just Cannon and them. They'll be all right.
Well, so, I'll be down there with a camera live, and we'll get it on film.
That works.
Well, I'll tell you what. With the two of you getting together now and putting this whole thing out there, this is probably one of the most unique things that ever happened. You talked about Evan Knoll. Is he excited about this, about seeing you two guys square off together?
Mm-hmm. He says he is. I mean, like I said, I haven't talked to Evan in the last couple of weeks, but whenever a lot of it, you know, I have my back issues, which everybody knows, no secret. I had surgery in between races. And when I was running Funny Car, it hurt me. And then when I started back running Pro Mod for that year, it didn't seem to be as bad on my back. I ain't going to say it won't. I hope it's not. But whenever I brought it to his attention and the reasons why I did it, and, you know, I'm still going to be managing the fuel car team. It's not like I've lost this car. Bobby's just going to be driving it. He was excited. He come right back with, yes, sir, let's do it. He said, this will be one of the hottest things that's ever happened. So I didn't really realize it was going to, you know, start off as a bash that big. But you know, from what I understand, he seems to be really excited about it.
So if I gathered that right, you're going to still be tuning the top fuel dragster for Evan Knoll. Your Pro Mods at the same time and drive.
Well, see, the way the dragster works is basically I run the team and manage it.
Uh-huh.
And Jimbo actually done about 99% of the tuning. I mean, we talked about stuff and bounced stuff off of it, but you know, I'll probably be a little bit more. I'll help him more this year if he wants some more help. But Jimbo can run the car by himself, and that'll be one of those deals where, once again, it's whatever Evan wants. But I talked with him last week, and he still wants me to manage the team, help crew chief. He wants everything to stay the same except for we'll have somebody else in there mashing it. Now, I'll probably be more involved on the tuning part of it since I'm not driving. And the reason that is because when I was running Pro Mod a long time ago, I actually crew chiefed it and drove it, which is okay. Well, I was in and out of doing that with my fuel car because I was in and out of crew chiefs back when I was running Funny Car. Well, I got a little criticism from some respectful people. Says, look, if you're ever going to drive these things again, you need to just get in, sit down, shut up, and drive it. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you know how to run one. It's just hard to shut up. So in the Pro Mod world, I don't have to shut up. I will tune it. It is my cars. I do drive them. And there's nobody to really say if I'm doing it right or wrong, because the bottom line is they ain't beat us a whole bunch. So I feel good about running a Pro Mod car and crew chiefing it and with Junior's car and just assisting on the fuel car. That's basically the way it'll work as this year. Now, if that car gets a stumble and has something goes wrong or if anything's happening, I'll be there on the starting line behind this car 110%. I'll be in the pits. I'll be right there just like I was this year, hands on. But the guys are doing such a good job, and we got a good bunch of good guys just to start off in the first of the year with. And we got Todd Blakely, he's assistant crew chief. As long as they're doing their job and they're doing it real good, then I'm a firm believer, and you let a man do his job, and one of Evan's saying is, and I hate to hear this saying, but I like to say it to someone else. You know, I say, well, what are you going to do about this? He said, it's your barbecue. Barbecue it the way you want to. Well, that can go two different ways. You can have a good barbecue, or you can get your butt barbecue. So that's kind of the stand I take on that.
You think you're going to miss driving the top fuel dragster?
I would have to, you know, if I said no, I would be lying. And I think I'm going to miss mashing the pedal in it sometimes, because I'm telling you, they are exciting cars. They're unreal. The part I'm really going to love is I had one of the best times I ever had the year before last when I was just crew chief in Junior's car, and this was one of the best years I've ever had drag racing once again. You know, watching my boy win the championship. So, you know, the only thing can get, it's like, I'm not greedy, but what could be better next year is if one of us could win the championship and one of us could stand behind and we all made it happen together. I mean, if you could do that, I mean, you haven't done it all, but that's just the next plateau. And I just don't know what that would feel like, but I sure would be looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think all of drag racing is as well. I know all the guys who love Pro Mods, they have got to be glued to it whenever you guys pull up and go at it when we go down to San Antonio, Texas. It's going to be one wild deal, especially 8 mile racing, different format, cars with a little different setup, and return of Scotty Cannon Sr. It's going to be absolutely wild. Between you two, it's an incredible 7 world championships, and very good chance there's going to be an 8th one, and it's going to be flipping the coin, I believe, at the end of the season to see who's got that shot at it. Scotty,
you're right, brother.
I do want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy, and I told you I wouldn't hold you too long.
Oh, no.
Thank you again for coming on to Real Racing USA, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And hopefully, in San Antonio, I get a chance to talk to you in the winner's circle.
Hey, brother, anytime you want to call us, you don't feel free. You don't feel bad. You won't be bothering me. And like I say, we'll be out there testing and beating the bushes up a little bit. And if you hear something, you give me a call, and we'll get back on here, and we'll just make sure we keep all the fans informed. Because if it wasn't for those guys and Evan Oll and the family and everybody just, you know, making this whole deal happen and people like y'all, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I'm pretty sure everybody knows I'm a drag racer at heart, and I intend to keep doing what I've been doing. So I appreciate being on here as much as y'all appreciate having me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Cannon, the 6-time IHRA world champion, he is back. And it's going to be double vision this year. Father and son teaming up, going at it for the world championship in IHRA. Scotty, thank you for coming on oh so very much.
You will. Thank you.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it is going to be wild whenever those two guys square off. And, you know, there's probably going to be some bumps in the road. It's not going to be perfect, but my experience of having the honor of watching both of these Cannons, pressure doesn't seem to bother them. The dad, Scotty Sr., he's outspoken, and he'll jump right out there and tell you. The son, very quiet, but I'll tell you what, he gets the job done. So you got two different personalities, and both of them champions in their own right. So it's going to be really a lot of fun watching these guys race.
All right, Stevie. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with an owner of a drag strip, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to talk to the Bobby Smith out of Kinston, North Carolina, and we're talking about the Winterfest coming up in January. It's a 3-day race, $20,000. The 21st annual Winterfest coming up the first week of January.
We'll be right back.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan.
Hooligan.
Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What else says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it?
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Fake.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Hey, we're back with Straight Line with Stevie, Latempt. And Stevie, we have a guest on the line, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I've got the man who is responsible for one of the probably most popular bracket races in all the South, where the 21st Annual Winterfest at Kinston, North Carolina, where last year we saw race cars come in from 9 states in Canada. And I've got Bobby Smith on the line right now. Bobby, how you doing, guy?
I'm doing great, Stevie. I hope you are.
Oh, I'm doing fine. So are you excited about the coming 21st Annual Winterfest?
Oh, yeah, we're real excited. We, as you know, we always look forward to this race. We see a lot of folks that we don't see any other time of the year. We see a lot of northern cars, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and, of course, southern cars, too, that we don't see on a regular basis during the year because they are tied up at their local tracks, and you know, it's our time to fellowship with some of these guys, and a lot of these guys has made a tradition out of coming to this race in the last 20 years, and they actually take their vacation around this thing, and, you know, we fellowship, and as you know, you've been to quite a few of them. We have a great time, and usually the weather cooperates with us, and we have a great event.
Well, you know, the weather does cooperate quite well with the Winterfest. First week of January, 4th, 5th, and 6th, you know, you would think, oh, my gosh, it's got to be cold. But not in Kinston, North Carolina. If I'm not mistaken, last year it was in the 70s.
It was in the 70s, and night temperature didn't get much below 48, 49. And
that was actually late in the evening.
Yeah, that was actually ideal racing conditions. And so these guys like it, you know. I mean, they – especially the northern guys, it's kind of balmy down here to some of those guys. So, you know, of course, we appreciate all these guys through the years that supported this race. We started this thing, and somebody says, you're crazy to guarantee 5,000 to win each day in this kind of weather. And I said, well, maybe so, but, you know, we think we can do it. And we've had all the hot bracket racers at one time or the other down through the years. All of them's been here and participated in this race. So, and you know, it's just been, like I said, a tradition. Hope we can keep it going on for quite a few more years.
Well, I can remember, I think it was last year, pretty sure it was last year, there was one gentleman that came down from Nova Scotia.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
He said he had 12 inches of snow on the roof of his trailer. And he had to dig his way out.
where you could even get the rig on the road. But by golly, there he was. I mean, talk
yeah,
about
you know, we had some guys coming from Ohio that left snow. And, you know, I really think that these guys once a year do this as much for the fellowship as they do for the racing. They love the racing. That's just a side benefit. But they really love the fellowship, cook, you know, kind of they've been locked up for a while. It kind of gives them, gets them out. And, you know, I really think that they look forward to this race to get out of the house for a while and just, you know, talk some racing and do some racing.
Well, I do know this, that you could stick your head out of the door of the tower and you could smell the barbecue in the air. They definitely do have a good time down there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, these boys and some of our local guys will, you know, pick up some pigs and, you know, throw them on the cooker and, you know, people, everybody's cooking or eating something. And it's a big fellowship. And, you know, we have a great time with it. And normally over 300 race cars, you know, as you know, every year. So we've been very lucky and very blessed for our racers and all across the, Eastern Coast to put this on their calendar and come for it.
Well, in addition to the Winterfest, you've got a series going, don't you? You have like three of them? Tell me a little
bit. Yeah, we have a winter series. We call a winter series when a lot of the tracks around are closing down, you know, done for the year. We have a winter. We have a six-race winter series, two in November, two in December, and, of course, two at the Winterfest. It's a six-race series, and, you know, and pays pretty good points money, you know, for these guys just for a six-race series. And we have a lot of participation in that. And our Holiday Fest was this past weekend, and we had a great car count. And it was good. It was a little cool. Got down a little cool at night one night. But, you know, during the day it was in the 60s. And it was good, you know, excellent racing weather. And so we, like I said, again, we certainly appreciate these guys that, you know, toughen this $3.30 a gallon diesel fuel that enjoys racing enough to sacrifice and come down and be with us. And, you know, our hats off to these guys that participate at the tremendous expense to themselves. So it's obvious they love the sport.
You know, I will say this. I've come to it for many years, and I've seen some of the most unusual combinations that end up in the finals. I know, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but I know he drove a station wagon, and he had a square off against a dragster in the finals. And God,
yeah.
Man, I don't know what the spot was. It was.
This boy's from Maryland, and his name won't come to me either. But, yeah, he's a dedicated bracket racer. I remember the car, you know, had the stovepipe sticking out the left-hand side, looked like a piece of PVC pipe, something like a weather station pipe. I remember that wagon, and I can't recall the boy's name now, but I can visualize him and see him. But he is very deadly, very consistent, and like you said, you see some different things out there at Winterfest. Alan Glatt was the boy.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and he comes out of Maryland, and he comes every year, and I know he's been every year for 10 years. I know, and but he's a very good racer, and you know, he's a very tough competitor.
Well, I'll tell you, you've got somebody that's really stuck with you through the years, and I think it's really paid off for them, and that's the Kinston Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Oh, they really have. They sponsor these events and support us, the chamber. You know, they really support us. And, you know, the Kinston Visitors and Convention Center has really put an effort to make this thing successful and continue to do so from year to year. And without their help, we wouldn't be quite as successful. I mean, they've put billboards up in Raleigh. Down towards our place, a little closer out of Raleigh. So they've got billboards up, you know, advertising our race for us and putting the bill for that. And because they realize, you know, that we are bringing a lot of folks in here, and there's a lot of people buying, you know, groceries, gas, racing, and a lot of tourism there.
Well, you know, besides the Winterfest, you also host the
an IHRA Pro-Am race for many years. Are you still planning to do that again this year?
Yes, sir, we will. It's going to be in September, the last week in September this year. I think this will be like our, I think, 15th, 16th year of a Pro-Am here. So, yeah, we got a close relationship with those guys and enjoy it every year. And we don't see those racers but about once a year, except some of the local guys that race with us that run the circuit. But we enjoy seeing them, and you know, it's been a pleasure to serve those guys and work with IHRA through the years.
Well, you know, one of the things that I did notice, and if you ever get a chance to go on the site, I haven't been there lately, but used to have some pictures on there of these guys leaving the line, and you talk about a track that'll hook. This track. Excellent hook. A lot of wheels in the air. I think you've got a lot of stocker guys, too. Maybe some super stocker guys that have jumped in there with a bracket car, because these things, they're using suspension to launch them. Oh, man. Wild.
And since last year, the Winterfest, we've had the track completely ground smooth, and it is working very good now. I mean, like most tracks, it had developed some bumps and dips through the years, and we added concrete. We've got concrete out to the 330, and all that's been ground smooth and resurfaced. And so we think we're going to give them a much better surface this year, especially for the dragsters and the open body cars, than we have in the past. And, I mean, it's really smooth out there now. I mean, I've watched ETs and some of the pro mods we run, you know, well, a couple of weeks ago, we had a guy run a 415 out there at 180-some mile an hour. And so the track's in excellent condition and works very well in cold weather. I mean, it's an excellent working track in cold weather.
Well, I guess a lot of the guys then that from way up north have only come down once a year, they're in for kind of a surprise then with the track being completely resurfaced. And
They should have a good surprise this year. I mean, they haven't been on it since we've had it, you know, milled down and smoothed out. And I think they'll really appreciate that, you know. And, you know, we spent the money to try to make it a good, consistent track from lane to lane. And, you know, just have worked on it really hard. So I think they're going to enjoy that this year. I think they're going to see a big improvement over it.
Well, Bobby, I do want to thank you for coming on tonight. I know I caught you in your car, and you haven't even been home yet, so I'm going
to
let you go.
Well, that's fine. I enjoy talking to you and, of course, to all the drag racers down this way and around everywhere. I mean, you know, if it weren't for these guys, we wouldn't need racetracks. And, you know, they sacrifice quite a bit to come race with us, and we try to give them a good show and treat them fairly and honestly. And, you know, that's been our tradition through the years, is to try to treat these guys good. And I think from the, especially our northern cars that you hear these guys, I mean, they love to come down. They love the southern hospitality. They like the people. They like the food. And, you know, like I said, they just made a tradition out of it. And, you know, so we look forward to it again this year.
Well, Bobby, thank you so very much for coming on the show. And guys, I do want to tell you, if you would like to come down and race in T-shirts the first week of January, and I mean, I'm dead serious, it'll be in the 70s. It'll be gorgeous weather. You can forget that snow and that sleet and that cold. Y'all come down south, down to the Winterfest. I promise you, Kinston, North Carolina, Bobby Smith and the guys will treat you to a royal weekend with $20,000 on the line. Bobby, thanks again for coming on with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you guys come on, and I'll guarantee you we'll show you some good southern hospitality and get you down to the racetrack.
Thanks a lot, Bobby.
Thank you.
Take care.
And this is Straight Line with Stevie. Stevie, where exactly is Kinston in
North Carolina? We're looking on the eastern part of the state. Probably, I don't know, maybe.
Oh, closer to 95?
Yeah, it's probably about 50 miles east of 95.
Oh, okay.
And it's really no problem to find it.
Yeah, it's on the coast.
The town of Kinston, everyone in the entire town will guide you to the drag strip.
Yeah, no doubt.
The town gets really excited. You can't walk into a Walmart or into a place to eat without, if you have any type of race uniform, they start talking to you. They want to know what happened out there and stuff, and, you know, and they want to know what time the race starts the next day because they're off or they can't get off work, you know, and it's real exciting. There's a really great atmosphere when you come down to Kinston.
Good time in January. I tell you, Stevie, we'll be right back in a few minutes. I think we're coming back with the hired gun.
That's right, Robbie Hudlow, IHRA stock super stock racer. He is truly one of the best.
Straight Lining with Stevie. We'll be right back.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarKnight gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
And this is Real Racing USA, and this is Straight Lining with Stevie. And looks like we got Stevie's hooked up with Robbie Hudlow right now.
That's right, Robbie Hudlow, the man I nicknamed the Hired Gun, because I'll tell you what, he flat comes out blazing. Robbie, how you doing this evening?
Oh, everything's great. How you doing, Steve?
Doing great. A little background, guys, on Robbie Hudlow. Not only was he number four in the Super Stock division this year, extremely tough class in IHRA, but in stock, he also was number eight in the points. That's a pretty tough pair to handle. And, Robbie, you had a pretty good season.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. The Camaro, we didn't do quite as good in stock as we wanted to. We had a few problems with the car spinning the tires, and every once in a while would just blow the tires off, and it cost me a few races. But we got that getting fixed at the moment. And in Super Stock, that ended out pretty good. But I was just glad to see Anthony, who's my boss, glad to see him pull it out and win the championship.
Well, you know, a lot of times you see guys that will lay down for their boss, and I will tell all the fans out there that I watch Robbie Hudlow, who, as I call, the hired gun for Anthony Bertozzi, because Anthony, I believe, actually owns that car. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Anthony owns both cars.
So, whenever Robbie squares off against him, it's a war. In fact, you just about cost him one of his championships because you took him out.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
In that one race, and I thought, holy smokes, that could have been a championship right there.
Yeah,
so
I think both of us
played.
I think both of us were 00 on the tree that round and right on the money. It ended up being a couple thousand for the second margin of victory. But that's one thing I'll give Anthony. You know, there's no team orders, and when any of us on the team, whether it's Jim Harrington, me, or Anthony, or Sal Biondo, when we go up there, we run for it. Nobody lays down for anybody.
I'll tell you, he's got some heavy names on his team. You know, Big Jim Harrington.
We've got a pretty well rounded team. I believe we've got 14 cars total. And you know, we got Melinda, Anthony, me, and Jim Harrington, and Sal Biondo runs several races in one of our Achievas in Superstock.
That's incredible. In fact, I guess really. Anthony Bertozzi is a whole another story there. He's an incredible individual, and he's very selective on who he picks. So when he picked you, he does nothing but the cream of the crop, and it just about cost him. Gave you a first class car, and you gave him a first class driver. You were
well. I appreciate that, and I feel very fortunate to you know to be a part of that deal. And,
are you
going to
be back again for 2008 with Anthony?
Yes, sir. We'll be back in 2008 with. With both cars, I'm having the engine redone in the Superstock car right now by Tim Sloan down in North Carolina, and the stocker is at Kenny Kuntz's, getting the suspension redone on that. So come February, we'll be out with both of those cars, as well as I'll be running a few bracket races, big dollar bracket races, in one of Anthony's dragsters, and also be running Competition Eliminator this year in NHRA. Driving for current Pro Stock driver Justin Humphreys. I ran three races in that car at the end of the year, and we'll also be running that as well.
Sounds like you got a full plate coming up for 2008.
I definitely got a full plate.
Yeah. One thing I did want to ask you, though, is you have probably the most unusual job to make a living of anybody out there. In fact, it has to be one that you got to be pretty envious of you. You deal in the world of high-dollar cars and motorsports machines, anything from a Hemi Cuda to whatever, to dragsters and so on, and you wheel and deal, you buy and sell those, am I correct?
Yes, sir. I buy everything from Harleys to Ferraris, you name it. You know, pretty much mostly muscle cars, Camaros, Chevelles, Corvettes, boats, performance boats. Do a little bit of everything, and it's been pretty good to me. Business has been a little slow right now. The economy's with fuel the way it is and everything. We've been a little slow, but I still keep several muscle cars in stock at all times, and broker a lot of stuff as well.
Well, what's the most expensive car that you've ever handled?
Most expensive car? Who would that be? I'd say probably. The Hemi Cuda that I sold a few years ago, and you know, like in today's standards, that car is probably worth about $750,000. But yeah, you know, cause we've got one car right now for sale in the $300,000 range. It's a 1970 Roadrunner convertible 446 pack car. That's one of 34, and but definitely I probably sell 30 69 Camaros every year.
Kidding. Wow. You know what's amazing when you think about what those cars cost in the old days, especially the Mopars, were really nobody wanted them for a while, and all of a sudden they caught fire.
No, they've really come to life. Especially if it's got a Hemi in it. Anything with a Hemi in it's really really bringing the money. And even the 446 pack cars have come up a bunch. Everything's kind of in the down low right now. Even the Corvettes and stuff have. They're taking a little bit of a beating, but it's. I think it'll all come back around. Barrett Jackson's, you know, comes in January, and that kind of sets the standard for how the year goes. And we'll see in January, you know, what the prices are. Last year they were down a little bit, especially on the Mopars, but you know, I look for it all to come back around.
Well, you talked about boats. What kind of boats have you dealt with?
Lots of them. I do a lot of jet boats and performance boats. Recently just sold, which was my own boat for a while, a 27-foot American Offshore Cat with a 540 blower motor in it. It was like a 115-mile-an-hour boat. Do a lot of smaller jet boats. I like messing with them. I pretty much grew up around the water and everything, and water skiing and all that. And we had jet boats when I was a kid, my family, and you know, I go through probably four or five boats a year.
You know, what you said it had a blower on it. It's like a 1471. Is it like what I'm used to? You know, or what type of blower they have on those boats?
It was a 540 big block with an 871 blower shops blower with two 750 Hollies on top. It's an 850 horsepower motor in a real light haul, and it was just a blast, a lot of fun. You could go out, you could cruise with it at 50 mile an hour, or get down on it and run 115. It was a real reliable, really nice setup engine. It really worked well. As a matter of fact, I'm looking to purchase another one this winter, just like it. I regretted selling that boat.
You know, you talked about Harleys as well. Do you do a lot in motorcycles?
Yeah, probably sell 10 or 15 bikes a year.
Yeah. Is there anything from race bikes, street bikes, or customs?
Mostly, Harleys, standard Harleys, and custom built bikes. Pro Streets, choppers, sold several choppers this year. That's the thing. A lot of guys, they're spending $40,000-$50,000 on these bikes, and man, they get done, and they're worth $20,000. So I buy them and try to make a buck on them.
Sounds pretty neat. So if anybody is looking for custom boats, bikes, cars?
Boats, bikes, cars, I pretty much do it all. If it's got wheels on it, I sell it.
Well, that's got to be cool. And apparently you make a good living at it because you're out there also playing with the cars. You couldn't leave to go play on the race cars. Of course, you also make a living doing that as well, I might add, because you do win a lot of races, and you also go a lot of rounds, which pays a lot of round money. So you're a lucky guy. You get to live in the world of racing.
Yep, we're pretty fortunate. And ever since I started driving for Anthony, which was in, I believe, 2003, we've managed to win at least one national event every year. And that's usually my goal, to win at least one national event. It gets harder every year, though. I tell you, the competition's very tough out there right now. You've got a lot of guys that come out of bracket racing and came over into class racing, into super stock and stock and stuff like that, and it's definitely made it more competitive. Both classes are a lot more competitive than they were, let's say, 10 years ago.
Well, are you and Anthony going to go for a championship this year?
Absolutely. You know, Anthony always starts out the year saying he's not going to chase points, but
I was just going to say that.
Then he'll get a couple wins under his belt, and then his outlook changes. And that's been my goal anyway, to try to win a championship. And I think 2 years ago we missed by two rounds, and so that's kind of my goal. This year I actually didn't race as much as I usually do. I sold my motorhome in the middle of the year, and by the time I got another one and got back on my feet and got going, I'd lost about a month of racing. I had another one I was supposed to buy as soon as mine sold, and the daggone guy sold it out from under me and kind of left me out in the cold, and I had to find another one and all that, and it was kind of a mess. So I ended up missing a couple of national events this year, and I think that kind of hurt me in the points also. But when I got another motorhome now and a new trailer and everything, and we're geared up and ready to go for next year.
So can I look to see you down in Immokalee, Florida, for the IHRA opener in Division Number 2 when they have that double plus that Sportsman Nationals?
That's definitely a possibility, because we're thinking about hitting that race, and then after that we've got a couple NHRA points races in Bradenton and Orlando, and then the Gator National. So I might end up taking the rig down there in February and leaving everything down there until after the Gator Nationals, and then that'll be right about the time Rockingham kicks off and all that. So we'll be definitely looking to run both sides this year. Only ran a few races in NHRA this past year, and I'm looking to get back over there and do a little bit more. I'd like to win another NHRA national event as well.
Let me ask you this: if somebody's interested in buying some of your supercars or your boats or your Harleys, how do they get a hold of you?
The best way is, I'm on the road a lot. The best way to get a hold of me is my cell phone. If I can give the number out, I will.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's 443-398-7271. That's 443-398-7271. Or my email is HUDS69Z@AOL.com. That's HUDS69Z@AOL.com.
So, guys, there it is. You got the word right there from Robbie Hudlow. If you're looking at a 100-mile-an-hour-plus boat, you're looking at a 40,000 custom Harley that you want to get a deal on. It sounds like you can buy motorhomes from him as well as muscle cars. Yeah, you need to get a hold of Robbie Hudlow.
Yep.
And the one thing you don't want to see Robbie Hudlow is in the other lane. Go drag racing. Well, Robbie, thank you again for coming on the show tonight. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, I appreciate it, Steve. I'd like to thank a few of my sponsors, Mickey Thompson Tires, Bertozzi Racing, Sloan Racing Engines, Beyonder Racing Products, and Justin Humphreys, who's also a big supporter of my deal, as well as Jake's Mail Order.
And there we go. That's the people that make him fly. Guys,
that's the people that make it happen.
From Anthony Bertozzi, Robbie Hudlow. One bad dude when it comes to drag racing, and just one hell of a nice guy when it comes to the rest. Thanks for coming on, guy. I really enjoyed talking to you.
First, Steve, thank you guys out there.
All right.
Take care.
And this is Straight Lining with Stevie. Stevie, you know, the swamp, that's, you know, people may not know, Immokalee is like way down south.
80 miles north of Miami.
Yeah, it's out in the middle of Florida, and it's out in the swamp, man. It's a cool place.
I'll tell you this now.
It's a cool place to go.
We joke about being out in the swamp, but this thing is 60 foot wide. It's an 8-mile track. It's all concrete, and it has over 4,000 feet of shutdown. Basically, a pro mod can go through the traps 180 mile an hour and doesn't even have to pull the chutes or hit the brakes.
In January, we're going to have Ralph Hester on your show, Straight Lining with Stevie, on Wednesday night for sure. And, Stevie, I wanted to just point out we have, you know, on RealRacingUSA.com where you can go listen to all of the archive shows. I mean, some great interviews with all Harley drag racers and IHRA and NHRA drag racers. There's photo galleries. And Craig Clark, we have a link there under the photo galleries deal where there's about 8 or 10 photo galleries of different kinds of racing, all kinds of motorsports, but the Track Rescue photo galleries are Craig Clark's, who does the, it's his website, he does the safety, he owns the Track Rescue deal that handles the safety for the IHRA events, and he's got literally thousands and thousands of photographs. A lot of them are taken from, like, places that fans don't normally go because of what Craig does at the track.
Yeah, you can see a totally different perspective down from the shutdown area. Some of the neatest pictures you ever want to see. It's really cool. It's definitely worth stopping in.
Yeah, and when something happens out there, those guys are on it. And we'll have to get Craig on this show one of these nights and pick his brain about what he does at an event.
You know, Craig goes way back into the 60s with this stuff.
Oh, boy.
He knows the stories now.
Absolutely. And he's a good guy on top of it. So I guess we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with, we're going to go drag racing on bikes for a while, huh?
That's right. We're getting ready to go from four wheels to two wheels. In the words of Tina Turner, simply the best, Greg Best. He's coming up next, guys.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan.
Hooligan.
Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What else says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it?
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
This is Real Racing USA, of course, and we're straight lining with Stevie on Wednesday night, and we're over in the All Harley section of the drag racing world at the moment. What do we got hooked up here, Stevie?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. You can hear the cackle in the pipes. It's Greg Best here from Raleigh, North Carolina, the young man who ended up number two in the points here in the SCP class. And he did it with four wins. And an amazing thing is, in only nine races, and it's a 14-race season. So the one question, I guess, the most important question I want to ask Greg tonight is, Greg, are you going to go for all 14 and go for the championship? Greg Best, talk to me, guy.
Well, we're probably going to do it about like we always have been, just try to run the Eastern Division, and then if we start stacking up some points later on in the season, then we'll try to hit more of the Western races as it, you know, as the season winds up to try to get it done then.
Well, tell me a little bit about this SCP class. What type of bike do you have to compete in this class?
Well, as far as the rules go, you got to have the VIN number has to be on the engine or the frame, and you can actually run any kind of combination you want to because you run a fixed index. You're running after a certain number. They say anything but nitro. So we're just running. Basically, what we're doing is we've got a motor that we've set up a little bit hot, you know, got a big cam in it, and just trying to keep it slowed down now, actually, running a different fuel this year. And it's such a competitive class, and you can actually take a stock big bore bike and go out there and run the number if you get it set up right.
Well, what is the number you do have to run?
We're running an 1150 index.
So 11.50, you want to hit it without going under, am I correct?
That's correct. And we have to qualify to that number since it's kind of like bracket racing, but we can't change the index. We cannot change the dial-in, so to speak. So you have to qualify to that number. So the closest to that number actually qualifies in a higher spot or lower, as it would be.
And does that give you an advantage as far as do they pair you guys up, or just how does that work?
Well, once they've got the qualifying done, then they ladder you like they do on a professional ladder. The closest to the index runs the closest to the number qualifies like in the number one spot, and then they run the number 32 bike. And it's laddered odd and even after that, just like they do in professional NHRA racing, or so to speak.
Well, I'll tell you, you really did, I think, extremely well to get in that number two spot. You were competing against a guy by the name of Dan Narland, who Dan was probably one of the hottest guys on the whole circuit for any class. He was just a killer in any class that he was in. And but he ran them all now. He was out there going race to race. And to my understanding, Dan's not coming back next year. He's taking a year off. It opens the door to you, big guy. All you got to do is jump in there and go at all 14 of them. And, of course, you got to win as many as you did last year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan was on fire this year, man. I'm telling you, he was really something else. And we had a pretty good season, too. And, like I said, we were only going to do the Eastern Division, and then it started looking like we had a shot at it. And, actually, we ran him in the second round in California this year. And same thing happened to me this time as it did when I ran him in Virginia. The bike wouldn't shift, and I just saw him go right on by. And that pretty much sewed it up for him then. But we had a good showing in Vegas the last race of the season. That was pretty good. We were really excited about that. I mean, you know, if we couldn't get the number one spot, at least we won the season ender.
Well, let me ask you this, and I hear this frequently from the guys out there with the Harleys, that what is it that goes wrong with these shifters? Because it's done it to several guys this year where the thing just wouldn't shift. Why does something like that happen on a bike? I mean, I understand a car, but, I'm new to the Harleys, as you know. And how does that work? Is there something in there that spins up too high or something? Or
no, actually, there's a shift drum. It indexes and stops at a certain spot and moves a shifting fork that places the gear in the proper position. A lot of times you'll get burrs on the little channels that guide the forks, and the fork will actually freeze up on that burr. And that'll stop it from shifting. That's what happened to me in Pomona. And, of course, I had air shifter problems in Virginia. I was losing air doing my burnout, so I didn't have enough air left to finish the run. And, you know, it's just disheartening any way it goes. We fixed the problem in California pretty easily. You know, something pulled the transmission out there in the pits, you know, and knocked the burrs off of it, polished the inside of the shifter forks back up, and put it back together, shift it like butter.
Huh. Well, when you've got it shifting like butter and you're ready to go next year, you do realize there is one guy who will be back. He was the man that had to give up the number one plate this year. That's Donnie Huffman. He's a pretty tough character. He's used to that number one plate. You ready to do battle with him?
Donnie's actually one of my heroes. I've looked up to him a lot in the past, and we've come together in elimination rounds several times, and there's really no telling, you know, who's going to get it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to running with him next year. And now that Dan's out, Dan Norland's out, it probably makes my job a little easier, I think. But Donnie's still a tough customer. He really is. I think the world of him. And like I said, there's a couple of other people coming up, too, you know, that are tough.
Going Talbot, well, right there.
Joey,
how about old Charlie Walker? Do you think he'll be? He keeps saying that he's going to sell all his bikes and he's going to quit. But the man ran five classes and was number five or better in five different classes. And reaction times, you know, Charlie Walker probably had the best reaction time average of any of the competitors in the sportsman categories, and maybe the pro as well. Now, if he comes back, he can really throw a wrench into the whole deal.
Charlie's tough. I like running with him, and yeah, he has got a good reaction time. And I've heard people say that before. You know, that they're not going to race, and they're just going to get out of it. And then there you go, you see them again. You know, at the season opener, and they're going at it full bore, just like they were before. So it gets in your blood. It's something that you can't just drop. You know, that's I've been talking with Dan DeGood about that. Of course, he announced his retirement. He actually did, and we were all betting whether he would or not, but he actually did it. And talking with him after that, he said, you know, that he does miss it, but at least he's still involved working with the Vansell crew.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been involved in motorsports now, you know, my whole life, but I don't know. How many years have you been involved in this sport?
In this sport, we started racing in 1999. We formed the race team with a friend of mine, Lou Trubiano, out of a shop in Wendell, North Carolina, American Motorcycle Masterpieces. And it's just kind of, you know, blossomed from there. You know, we started out going, well, we're just going to make this race and see how we do. So, well, that was fun. Let's do it again. So we made the next race. And then it's just kind of, here we went, you know, and here we are now. And we still got that same kind of attitude. We prepare for the next race, and that's the one we're going to do, and that's the one we concentrate on. But it ends up going just as soon. We're already preparing for the race after that on the way home.
Well, let me ask you this. Just how did you initially get involved into racing Harleys? Were you a street rider before and just decided to give it a try? Or when did you get started riding?
Well, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I've been riding for a long time and working on motorcycles since, like, 78. And Lou came to me in the shop one day. He said, man, you want to go drag racing? I said, well, I don't know. We can give it a shot. He said, well, I've got a motorcycle here. And it was all over the shop. I mean, all over the shop. He said, put this bike together, and we'll use this one, put it on the track, and let's go see what we can do. I said, all right. He gave me 2 weeks. I said, I'm going to need a couple of days anyway to stay on this thing to put this bike back together. And we did it, did some small engine modifications to it. It was a 1985 Ironhead Sportster. And that thing just, it was amazing how it ran. And it, you know, I had a hard time with it at first because my first pass down the track was at the first qualifying round at the AHDRA event in Rockingham. So my heart was up in my throat. I made a whole lot of mistakes. I was going, this is the hardest thing I've ever tried to do in my life. And I guess that's probably why we're still at it, because it is such a challenge. And you're running against the best people in the nation that do this, and it just tickles me to be there, to, you know, to be involved in it.
Well, I will tell you this: it's always fun to watch you go, and I would love to see you run the full circuit out there. How do you think fuel prices and the cost of doing this is going to affect you for 2008? Because let's face it, gasoline, diesel, it's going $3.50 or more. I mean, that's a reality of life.
Well, I used to say that a quarter rise per gallon in the price of gasoline scares a whole lot of people off. And now we're talking about back, you know, a few years ago, that was true. But now you're talking about a dollar, dollar and a half rise in gasoline. I think that'll keep a whole lot of people at home. And, it's going to be a big concern of us thinking about whether or not we can afford to go racing. Because doing this, we've been doing this out of our back pocket with some help, you know, from our friends. And it is financially draining, and I just think that we'll take it as it comes.
Do you think there's any chance or possibility, or I don't even know if the format is possible, to develop like an East Coast and a West Coast series to help cut down on the traveling for the riders, and then have like a big shootout or something, kind of a World Series, like say at St. Louis or something? Do you think something like that would be possible? And would it be better for the racer?
Well, the AHDRA is divided up into two divisions, the Eastern Division and the Western Division, but they count the races from both divisions up to a certain number, 10 races for your national points. So actually, if you're running in Eastern Division and you go make a West Coast race during the season, it doesn't count for your Eastern Division points, but it does go towards your national points. So,
what I was saying, though, would you like to see them maybe break it into two?
And do it even on both coasts, something like that? And then have like a Super Bowl of drag races at the end of the year. I don't know. That's pretty interesting. It might, that might work out.
You think that might have an effect to bring more riders into the two different divisions to compete then?
Yeah, it would give the people that can't go to the West Coast at all, it would give them the opportunity to see what they could do against the West Coast racers. As they develop and rise up through their points in this respective divisions.
That was just kind of food for thought. You guys be thinking about that. I'll probably see something come up now on the All Harley Drag Racing site about it. And I think the guys, if they put their heads together, may be able to find ways to make it feasible for everybody to stay in this sport and to deal with the rising cost of the sport. And I can say that was just a thought, hearing from you, somebody that has to pay the bills, I'm pretty lucky because the Harley people, they pay my way to and from the track. I'm probably one of the few guys in drag racing. I've got the best deal in the world. I get paid to go to the races. But you have to pay to get there and to compete. So we got to find some way to make it more feasible for you guys to get to and from?
Yeah, well, you got to win to get paid when you're racing. You know,
absolutely.
You've got big sponsors, so.
Speaking of sponsors, who all helps you out, Greg?
Man, I got some guys that I've known for a long, long time that have businesses. KW's Auto and Truck Service is a buddy of mine, Keith Widener, and he started this business, and I actually work there now. And another friend of mine, RBI Crane and Tree Service in New Bern, North Carolina, is a very good friend of mine, Dick Ritchie, that owns that business. And I get discounts at local stores around here. Cycle Gear is one. Ray Price, Harley Davidson, I get a discount there. And that does help, you know, when I have to buy parts and things like that. And pretty much I get friends that come by, you know, so here's $20. And then my friends up there in Lynchburg, Virginia, WFO Racing, I'll be riding their motorcycle again this coming season. I rode their bike like three times, and they kick in money occasionally to help us pursue this madness. And it's just a lot of close people that want to see us do good, and they're into what we're doing, and like to see us, you know, enjoy ourselves. And
kind of all part of the Harley family just kind of comes together and seems to help each other. I found it to be a very tight-knit family, and everybody does seem to be very generous in sharing and making, you know, doing all they can to help their fellow rider. Well, I'll tell you what, Greg, I appreciate you coming on tonight. As usual, I went 13 minutes over tonight, and whenever we're done, my boss is going to tell me about it. So I've got to let you go, so I still have a job to come back to next week. It was an absolute joy talking to you. And four wins, nine races, pretty tough. Just remember, next year, you want that championship, 14 out there, I would just love to talk to you in the winner's circle.
That would
Greg,
be a
take
treat
care of my
for
friend.
Us. And, I'm sorry. That would be a treat for us as well.
I look forward to seeing you guys next season. Greg Best, ladies and gentlemen, the man who was number two in the points in SEP. Four wins in just nine races. The potential's there. Will he go after it in 2008? Thanks for being on, Greg.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, Stevie, you know, yeah, me and you could, you know, being in the media and you being an announcer, I mean, we can go to these events and we get paid one way or the other, you know, but we don't get the thrill of going down the track at 160 miles an hour.
You know, that was one thing whenever I was a driver and with cars, there was an extreme rush there. I cannot explain it. And, of course, the guys that ride the Harleys, they know what I'm talking about. And so does the guy,
sure,
who, the Scotty Cannons of the world and stuff, they know what I'm talking about. And all the guys in IHRA. But for the race fan, if you've never actually done it, it's exciting to watch. But, oh, my, what it feels like to actually go down the track. It's a real rush. It's extremely exciting. You know, talking about things exciting, coming up next week is going to be our last show for this season. We're going to shut down for Christmas. But it's going to be a special show. Because you talk about eighth-mile racing, we talk about quarter-mile racing. Well, next week we're going to talk about one-mile racing. We're going to talk with Joe Timney, the president of the ECTA, the East Coast Timing Association. And that, believe me, guys, it's going to be an interesting, interesting interview. This is a man who has been behind the wheel. He has built motorcycles. In fact, Bob Malloy's motorcycle, he did that motorcycle. And he's going to talk to us about what it's like to go after land speed records. And I truly, truly want to tell everybody, you need to listen to this one, guys. It is going to be really, really good. But unfortunately, it will be the last show of the season. But we will be back come probably the first or second week, probably the second week of January.
And, Stevie, we were mentioning earlier about the photo galleries on Real Racing USA. We also have, of course, the fan forums that are being developed. And we have a drag racing section in there. Actually, it's... you know, for this show, where you can go on and you know, post comments or ask questions or let us, you know, just anything you want to do in there. And there is a drag racing section that you know, we'll be building up, I'm sure, over the next year.
Also, I want to be sure and remind the guys, this show is for you. If you have press releases, if you have pictures, You got to send them in, guys. I want to make you the star that you are. And to do that, you got to get those press releases to me, because the sponsors will love you for it, believe me. That's one way to get a sponsor, and if you got one, this is one way to help keep him.
Pretty cool, Stevie. I tell you what, man, it's been fun as usual, and we will see you next week. And who are we having again next week?
I believe it is Timney.
Yeah.
Oh, Timney. I just met the gentleman the other day. He is the president of the East Coast Timing Association. This is a guy who is not only the president of the association, but he has been involved in the world of motorcycles and cars both. So you're going to hear both sides of the coin, what it's like to be a driver, what it's like to be a rider. He has built them, and he's done it all. And now he is the president of the East Coast Timing Association. He is our special guest.
Next week on Straight Lining with Stevie. See you then.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.